subject, and we're going to get there in a little bit. But on the topic of prayer, verse number 16, it talks about coming boldly into the throne of grace, and we're going to get to that. But just looking at some of these verses of Scripture that lead up to verse number 16, I come to verse number 13, and reading that verse and thinking about it, you know, it's scary, but it's also comforting that God knows everything about us. And that's a pretty, like, scary but also comforting verse. When you read verse number 13, the Bible says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight," speaking of God, "but all things are naked and opened to the eyes of him with whom we have to do." No creature is not manifest in his sight. There's no creature, there's no person, there's no being that God does not know every single thing about them. That God does not know what they're doing and where they're at and where they go and what they say and how. Every single thing is opened under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And sometimes as human beings, we can just, to put it frankly, be dumb. We can think we can kind of hide from God, or we can get around God knowing about the things going on in our life. It's kind of like kids, and especially kids that are boys. My dad's here, and I don't know if he'll remember this or not, but when I was probably 8, 9 years old, we lived in Ursina, Pennsylvania, and the way the house was, it had a kind of a finished basement that was just a big, long, no walls or anything, like it was just a big, long, open room, and you kind of came down from the one side of the house, and then there was a bedroom where me and my older brother slept, and then like a closet, and then just opened up to this wide room. But we had our video game set in this big, large room, and we had one of those like really old TVs that had like the wood casing around it. It was probably like this tall and like this wide. It was a tank. To give you perspective, my dad used that as a jack for his lawnmower one time, and I wish I still had that picture, but I always laugh about that. It was one of those things, but as a kid, I liked to play video games, all that kind of stuff. But of course, you know, the parents had the rule, when it's time for bed, you go to bed. You don't play video games, you go to bed. Well, one night I had this bright idea that I would go to bed, and you know, then I'd just wake up or act like I was asleep, and I'd get up and I'd play video games all night, and then I'd get back to bed in the morning before my dad came down. Well, I didn't realize that actually when I went to bed, I actually fell asleep. And so I woke up, and I was just stupid kid, so I didn't look at the time or see what it was. I was like, oh, okay, I'm going to go out and play some video games for a while before, you know, I go back to bed, and then my parents find me. Well, what I didn't realize is it was like right around the time I woke up, right around the time when Dad would normally come down to wake us up. And so I'm out there and playing video games for just, I don't know, for maybe 15 minutes. And all of a sudden, I hear the upstairs door open up, and I'm like, oh, no, my dad's coming down. And so being a dumb, I mean, it's kind of stuck. So I'm like, he's going to come down. He's going to go in the door. He's going to know I'm not in the room. But I was like, well, I'll hide behind this TV. But as a kid, I was like, it was like almost like one of those cartoons where like someone tries to hide behind something, but they're like way bigger than the thing. And I'm like, I'm standing like this, and my big head is like sticking way outside of the thing. And my dad comes down. He's like, Aaron, is that you? And I'm like, no. And I walk out, and I get one of the biggest whoopings I ever had in my life. Because I thought I could get away with it, right? I mean, I can hide from my dad. I can get, and I didn't. But as funny as that is, that's sometimes how we are with God. That's what we think we can do, that we can just hide things and we can look at things or listen to things or say things or have things in our heart, and somehow God doesn't know about it. But the reality is all things are open to him that we have to do with. And that can be scary, that, man, God knows every single thing going on in our life. God knows what we do on this phone. God knows what we watch on the TV. God knows what we've said to somebody. I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but God knows our thoughts. God knows our actions. God knows where we've been. And that can be a scare if we're doing the wrong thing. But that can be encouraging that God knows when we're doing the right thing. God knows when we've been faithful to him and we've resisted temptation, or we've given when he's told us to give, or we've done the right thing, even though nobody else may know about it, because all things are open unto him to whom we have to do with. And so it's scary, but it's also comforting in a sense. But go to, keep your spot here, but go to Psalm 139. Psalm 139. Psalm 139. If I go late tonight, blame pastor, because he did the testimonies and stuff, so I get like 10 extra minutes that don't count. Not really. Man, no one laughed at that. You're like, you better not come on. That was a joke. Maybe. Psalm 139. There we go, verse number 1. Psalm 139 and verse number 1, the Bible says this. David speaking, and really think about what he's saying here in these verses. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day, and the darkness and the light are both alike unto thee. And you know, I like what David's saying here. He's talking about God knowing everything and God seeing everything. Verse number 6, he says, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain to it. That's something that just, it's hard to just comprehend or understand or realize that every single thing you and I do, God knows about. Thou knowest my down-sitting and my uprising. God knew when you got out of bed this morning. God knows we're going to go to bed tonight. God knows the places you go, the things you do. He even says, thou compasseth my path, my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Do you understand tonight? God's acquainted with your ways. God knows your pattern. God knows this past week what you've done. God knows what you're prone to do this coming week. God keeps track and sees all of those things. Verse 1, thou hast searched me and known me. Even verse number 4, for there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. God knows every single word that you speak. Hey, every single text message that you send, every single comment on social media that you comment, God knows all of it. And we need to keep that in mind. We need to understand that God sees everything. And that can be a blessing or that can be a curse. That can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing. He even says in verse number 2, thou knowest my down-sitting and mine uprising, thou understandest my thought afar off. Not does God only know everything you've done and everything you've said and all the God knows every single thing that's gone through your mind. And that's a scary thing. God knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart and my heart and what we've done this past week. I'm just trying to get across to you this evening that God knows everything about you. And can I say, understanding that you can't hide or get away from God will make a big difference in your life. When you're on this phone and you're watching something or look at something or sending a message to somebody or commenting something, if you sit there for a second and think, man, God knows every single thing I'm about to say or do on this, it'll make a big difference on what you do on this phone. When you're sitting there watching the TV and you're flipping through channels or going through Netflix or whatever you're doing, keeping in mind that God knows every single thing I'm about to set my eyes upon and every single thing I'm about to watch, or you get in the vehicle or you get on iTunes or whatever music thing you do and you're listening through your music, and God knows every single thing that you're about to listen to. That makes a difference in what you choose to listen to or watch. When you're out with your friends or you're in conversation and you're prone to want to gossip or want to run somebody down or use your mouth in a wrong, evil way. I mean, if you think and say, man, every idle word that men shall speak, man shall give account to God one day for, that'll make a difference in what you say. When you think about, man, God knows what's going on in my heart right now. The feelings, the thoughts, the intents, the desires. Man, if we could comprehend and get a hold of that tonight, I feel like that'd make a big difference in our life. That God knows all of these things. And yes, at the one hand, that should cause some fear of the Lord in our lives to do the right thing, but also that should encourage us to do the right thing. Because once again, God knows when we do what's right. God knows when we are faithful to church. God knows when we pass out that tract to that somebody that nobody else may see. God knows when we give to so-and-so, when God puts it on our heart, when we stay away from sin and we watch the right thing and listen to the right thing and do all that. God is keeping account of those things. Real quick in Jeremiah 32, and verse number 19, We'll read verse number 17. Jeremiah 32, verse 17, it says, Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands and recompensed the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel and mighty in work, for thine eyes are open upon all the ways of the sons of men. To give everyone according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Do you understand that God's eyes are open unto your ways tonight? And God's keeping track and an account of your ways. This past week, once again, I know I kind of repeat myself, but I'm trying to drive this home this evening. This past week, every single thing you did, said, place you went, thought you had, God is keeping account of. And every single thing you're going to think, say, do, go this week, God is keeping account of. You know what the Bible says? He gives unto men according to his ways. Man, there's blessings for those that do right, and there's consequences for those that don't do right. And man, what a change it would make in our life if we could memorize some of these verses. Man, if we could go to Psalm 139 and get those words down in our heart and understand that God searches our ways and knows our ways. And not just memorize it to say it, memorize it, but really getting it down in our heart to understand as we're going through life that, man, God is watching me. And God knows what's going on. And like I said, I probably was a little bit more negative in that than I wanted to be, but it can be a scary or comforting thing. But when we think about that, the reality, and bringing this back to the topic this evening, the reality is that God sees and knows our faults and failures, because none of us are perfect. I don't think a single one of us in here this evening can say, yeah, this past week I did everything right 100% of the time. I did not sin. I did not do. I don't think a single one of us can say that. I can think of myself several ways this past week where I failed God. Where I did not do the right thing, I didn't go do the thing he wanted me to say or do or whatever, I've fallen short of the glory of God. And even though God knows our faults and our failures and our shortcomings, it's amazing that he still invites us to come boldly to him in prayer. That same context of scripture, that same chain of passages where it says that there's nothing secret in his sight, but everything is manifest and naked in the eyes of whom to whom we have to do. And yet in verse 16 it says, let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Even though God knows your faults and your failures, even though God knows better than you this past week the times you've messed up and fallen short and not done what you're supposed to do as a Christian, he still says, you can come boldly in my presence. And that's amazing. He doesn't say, hey, you better come with some fear and trembling. Hey, you better be careful God doesn't strike you dead because of how much of a failure you are, or because you knew you shouldn't have done some things, you did them anyways, or you knew there was things you should do and you didn't do them, and you better be careful coming to God because he might cast. That's not what it says. It says that we can come boldly into his presence. And that's an amazing thing. And I want to be clear, I'm not talking about having willful and rebellious sin in our life that God just overlooks because we can come into his presence. I'm not talking about if we have sin that we know is wrong and things that God's convicted us on and we haven't gotten them right, that we can just come into God's presence and God's going to answer our prayer and do whatever we want him to do. David said in Psalm 66:18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Proverbs 15:29, the Bible says, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. And so I'm not talking about we can just sin and be wicked and know we're wicked and know we're doing wrong and just, well, God's not going to care about it. He does care about those things. I'm talking about, though, how he knows that we have failures and we have faults. And yet I can look at this past week. Hey, I can come to prayer today as I'm studying for my message and preparing for tonight, and I can come to God and I can know that I've failed him this week. And I know that I've fallen short of what he's wanting to do. But I can get that right and ask forgiveness, and I can still come to God in boldness even though I have my faults and my failures. And that's incredible that God would say, hey, come boldly into my presence. What an amazing thing. And can I say this evening that the only reason why you and I can do that is because of Jesus Christ. Why we can come boldly into the presence of God is because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. In verses 14 and 15 in Hebrews chapter 4, the Bible says, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace." Do you understand the only reason why you can come before God's throne this evening is because of Jesus Christ? Amen. It's not because of us, because we've just established, man, God knows all our faults and all our failures and all the ways we messed up. But because we have a great high priest, Jesus Christ, we can say, hey, I can come into God's throne room because he's my intercessor. And can I say that he deserves our praise and our thanks for that? That's something to be thankful for. And every once in a while I say, hey, thank you, Jesus Christ, that I can even come to God in prayer, because without you, I could not do this. And we're singing this morning, "All hail the power of Jesus' name." We should sing that with some heart and with some man. I really want to praise God because, hey, I couldn't even pray if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus Christ. And what an amazing thing. Because of Christ, we can keep our confidence and we can keep our assurance. In verse 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." You know what the devil loves to do? He loves to get us down. He loves to tell us, man, you're unworthy to pray. God doesn't care about you. Man, see the way you messed up. See the way that you failed. God's done with you. You might as well just give up. You might as well just quit. You might as well not even try because you're such a failure. But the Bible says, hey, we can hold fast to our profession because of Christ, because it's about Christ, not us. And yeah, it doesn't make it right to fail or an excuse to fail or an excuse to sin, but I can mess up. I can sin. I can fall short of the glory of God. But hey, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I can get it right with God and I can move forward because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can have that assurance. And man, there are times. There are many times where I try to get up to preach, or I'm getting ready to preach or do something, and man, I just feel like this big. And I know my faults, and I know my failures, and I know I don't deserve to be behind this pulpit to preach, and I feel like, man, I shouldn't even try to do this. Man, I know I shouldn't even ask God to bless it, because I know how much of a failure I am. But I can hold fast to the profession. And I can say, hey, God, you know I'm a failure, but Jesus Christ wasn't a failure. Man, and he forgave me, and he saved me, and he dwells inside of me, and I can keep going forward because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he deserves some praise and some glory for that this evening. What a great thing. And what a great thing that any time we have a need, we can come to God. Verse number 16, "Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Anytime you have a need, anytime you have a hurt, anytime you need some help, you know what you can do? You can come boldly into that throne of grace. Anytime you need God, he's there. And that's amazing. I mean, you think about Esther back in the Old Testament with King Ahasuerus. I think Brother Johnson was mentioning that the other night in his devotion. But about, she had to be careful about coming to the king's throne because he was the king. He had a place of power and authority. And man, you just come in any which way and uninvited, you could die because of that. The king of Sansus, you don't deserve to be in my presence. Off with his head. You put him to death. And that's why Esther had such a hard time, because she's like, I need to save my people. But if I go in there and the king's not happy with me, I could die. And you know what? God is way greater than King Ahasuerus. God has much more power and prestige and a place and all those things. And yet we can come boldly into his presence. I don't have to be like, oh, God, I'm here again. I hope this is okay. I'm praying to you. I hope it's okay. I'm asking you to bless this message. You know, please don't strike me dead. Please don't cast me out. Please don't be too big. This evening, as I was getting ready for tonight, I could come to God and kneel at the chair of my office and know that I was welcome to come into God's throne room to find his help. This evening, as we're singing, and I've got stuff going on in my mind. I'm trying to prepare myself and just some things. And I could kneel down at the chair up here and come boldly into God's throne room and saying, hey, even though everyone else is singing and stuff's going on, God cares about me and God knows about me, and I can pray right here, right now to come into his throne room. Tonight before I go to bed, tomorrow when I wake up, this week when I'm doing, anytime I can come to God for help and I can come boldly. with the confidence that he cares, with the confidence that he loves, with the confidence he can do something about my prayer request. What an amazing thing. Do you take advantage of that? Do you come to God boldly? Can I tell you tonight that some of the best advice I can give you, and I'm only 28, pastor has a lot of experience on me, my dad has a whole lot more experience than I do, I have a lot to learn, but in my years of being saved and the years of being in the ministry and just seeing God do things in my life and how good he's been to me, if I could give someone advice tonight, you know what advice I would give them? Learn how to come to God. Learn how to come to that throne room. Learn how to really have a relationship and to really not just, I'm just praying or I'm just saying, but really understand that you're talking to God Almighty and that any place, any time, you can get on your knees, you can be in your car, you can be standing, you can be doing, and learn how to talk with God. Amen. Learn how to come to him. Make coming to God's throne of grace a natural and important part of your life. And I'm not just talking, and please don't take this the wrong way, because I'm not against it. This isn't negating that. They're good. But I'm not just talking about having your, you know, whatever, daily time that you sit down and you pray, or having your prayer list, or having your prayer journal, or having your fancy way of things that you, there's stuff's all good. I'm not against those things. But I'm afraid sometimes prayer becomes almost like our Bible reading, Ken. We have our schedules, we have our list of, you know, I'm going to read this many chapters and this many pages of this thing, or I know I'm a Christian, so I'm supposed to read my Bible. And we kind of read our Bible, but it really doesn't mean a whole lot. We're just kind of going through the motions. And sometimes prayer can be that exact same way. That we know that we have our prayer list, that we have today I'm praying for this person, next week I'm praying for that person, there's this prayer request that came out, so I got to pray for that, and I got to do this. And praise the Lord for that. I'm not against that, like I said. And I'm not saying every single time you pray, it has to be like, oh, God, and, you know, some big heartfelt, like, revival is happening. But it's like we do with our Bible reading. You know, I woke up, I read my Bible, so that's my Bible for the day. I can forget about it for the rest of the day. Not to think about it, but I did my duty. I woke up this morning, I prayed, I went through my list, I said, bless so-and-so, bless so-and-so, bless so-and-so, and now I'm done praying, and so now my day's good, and I can think about other things. I'm talking tonight about coming to God in your time of need for mercy and grace. Any place, anywhere, anytime, getting on your face before God and really having a conversation with the Lord. And once again, I'm not trying to be overdramatic. I'm not trying to make it all some spooky thing. But I mean really being serious about what you're praying about and really caring about what you're praying about. And really understanding that you're, like I said, in the throne room of God Almighty. And the biggest thing that has helped me in my life is getting to that point is, hey, in my time of need, and that's not just in the morning when my prayer time is or at Wednesday night or Thursday night when we have group prayer. In whatever time, of place, a day, wherever, coming to God and saying, God, I have this need, please help me. And making it real. And making it mean something. Because you know what? God's throne is the only place to find mercy and grace in time of need. Sometimes I'm afraid we forget the importance of prayer and the importance of what it means to come to God. And man, we got our people that we look up to, and we have our friends, and we have our idols, and we have this TV show, and this self-help book, and this thing. And praise the Lord for some of that stuff, right? Godly counsel is important. Friends are important. I preached on that the other Sunday night. But nothing can help you like Jesus Christ himself, like God himself. And so many times we're so quick to turn to these other things and to go to these other places and focus on fixing it ourselves. Or man, I've had this training, or I've had this experience, or I read this book about how to do this thing, or I remember, pastor said this one thing. And once again, praise the Lord for some of that stuff, but I'm talking tonight about actually coming to God and saying, God, help me. I'm not trusting in my pastor, I'm not trusting in my friend, I'm not trusting in this book I read, I'm not trusting in this trick I learned along. God, I'm coming to you for mercy and grace in my time of need. And whatever that need is. And that's made a big difference in my life. And we're going to talk about some things here with time permitting. Visit any place in any time, whatever situation, learning to come to God. And if I can encourage you tonight in anything, of any advice, it would be learn to come to God. Learn to come to this throne of grace in your time of need for whatever it may be. You know, the disciples knew how important prayer was. Go to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. I've shared this several times with the youth group, and I might have said it before I'm preaching, I'm not sure. But I've always found this very interesting. A pastor showed me this a while back, and it's always stuck with me. But Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1, Luke 11 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And you think about it, these 12 men that followed Jesus everywhere he went, saw everything he did, saw the miracles performed, heard the messages he preached, saw God use Jesus Christ and his power and all those types of things. And you know the only thing I can find in Scripture that the disciples asked Jesus to teach them to do what it was? It was to pray. It wasn't, Lord, teach us to do miracles. It wasn't, Lord, teach us to preach like you preach. Lord, teach us to break the bread. Lord, teach us to walk on water. Lord, teach us to cast out demons. That there wasn't a focus or a care. But the only place where I see where they came to Jesus and said, Lord, teach us to do something, you know what it was? It was to pray. Because I believe they saw the prayer life that Jesus Christ himself had and the times Jesus Christ went out to the wilderness, set apart to pray, and the power he had with God because of prayer. That should show us how important it is. That's of all things what they said, Jesus, teach us how to do this. And I don't think it was, Lord Jesus, you know, teach us just to, have this little trick we can do to pray, or to have this prayer list, or to have this prayer journal, or to go about these notions. And once again, I'm not against those things. Please don't take that the wrong way tonight. Just like I'm not against having a Bible reading schedule or doing those things. That stuff can help. But once again, we are so prone sometimes to focus on the routine or our little plan or schedule of doing things instead of actually what we're doing. Instead of actually caring about, hey, I'm reading my Bible and I want God to speak to me instead of just reading my chapter so I can say I did this and I read my Bible in a month or 3 months or a year or whatever. I got to get through my prayer list because I got to make sure I can say I prayed for everybody in my list, or I did this thing on this day. What if God wants you to do something different? What if God puts something on your heart that he really isn't praying? Hey, forget about everything. Pray about this. Come to me about this. Because prayer is important. And I know Jesus gave them an example of how to pray. But I don't think they were just looking for a, Lord, give us some words we can say. I think they were saying, God, help Jesus, teach us to have some power with God like you have. Teach us to have a relationship with the Father like you have. And that's what I want to encourage you in tonight. Learn how to come to God. And it's kind of a simple, but learn how to pray. And man, I love, Pastor had a great message on that a couple weeks ago, and I really loved how he stressed in that too about the love in your prayer. And I pray for the things you love and let the Lord work on your heart, and that your prayer isn't just a religious duty, religious motion, but you're doing it with some fervor, with something that it means something to you. And that's what I'm asking you tonight. When you pray, is it just a, well, this is my list and this is my thing? And once again, I'm not saying every prayer you pray has to be some heartfelt, tears flowing, urgency, oh God, like that. But how often do you pray like that? How often do you really come to God and you're like, man, as Jacob was wrestling with the angel of the Lord, he said, I will not let thee go until you bless me. How many times do we have a prayer like that? That, God, I have this thing in my heart, and Lord, I'm not going to quit praying on it. I'm not going to get off my D's until I know that you've heard me, until I know that you're going to do something about it. Moses saying, God, send me. If thy presence doesn't go with me, I don't want to go. Man, sometimes I have to do that. Sometimes when I'm getting ready to preach, and yeah, I studied, and yeah, I prayed a bit, but just something feels off, and I have to get on my knees and say, God, help me. Lord, I don't want to get off until I know you have your hand on this. And honestly, today's been kind of like that. And I prayed at my office. I prayed last night. I beforehand was praying, but that's why I had to get, during the service. I know, I mean, we're singing. We have congregational singing. I mean, we can't sing then because we're singing. This is our, but you know what means more to me than just, like I said, once again, I'm not trying to be weird or like negate any of that stuff. It is important. But the most important thing to me is God using me this evening. Is God using me this, using this message? So when God lays it, and I feel like, man, I just need, I'm going to pray. Regardless of where I'm at, I'm going to come to God. Not just, well, you know, I had my prayer time at, you know, 9 o'clock yesterday morning, and I prayed for this thing, so I'm good because it was on my list, and I said, God bless this. No, I'm going to come to God and say, God, please help me. I need some mercy, and I need some grace in my time of need. And that's why I want to encourage you in tonight. To have your prayer life mean something. For it to mean to really come to God. You know, I like Dad with the prison ministry. A lot of times what Hammer says, Brother Hamilton, the guy that directs the ministry, when he's preaching to the men and stuff like that, and he talks about salvation, he says to him, he says, hey, some of you need to have a real conversation with God, maybe for the first time in your life. Or maybe you said some words in the past, maybe you've done a little religion, but having a real conversation with God. You know what some of us need? We need to have a real conversation with God. To really understand, we're not just saying some words, but man, I'm in God's throne room. I'm speaking to God Almighty, and He cares, and He knows, and He sees, and He's the only one that can maybe help me with this thing, and I need to get a hold of Him. And I want Him to know I care about what I'm praying about. Come to God. A couple things I want to encourage you to come to God on this evening. Can I encourage you to come to God for wisdom? Come to God for wisdom. For sake of time, we're not going to go through all these verses and stuff, but James 1:15, the Bible says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, which giveth unto all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. You know what's helped me a lot in the ministry and working with the teenagers and doing that type of stuff? And I praise the Lord for what He's doing in our youth group. I think God's growing it. I think God's blessing. I think God's doing some great things. It's a blessing to hear Mrs. Grimes give a praise, and God gets the glory for that. But you know what, if anybody ever came and asked me and said, well, Aaron, what are you doing? You know, what's the secret? What's the success to, you know, have, you know, youth group grown and young men? I'd be like, learn how to come to God. I wouldn't say, well, here, let me give you a checklist of do this and do this and here's this. I would say, I have no clue what I'm doing except I come to God and say, God, I need wisdom. Please give me it. And praise the Lord for books people have written and help and wisdom. I ask men for wisdom. I actually have a book that I ask men of God that I respect. Hey, what advice can you give me? But you know what has helped me more than anything else? Learning to come to God. Learning that when I have issues or problems or difficulties, or I just simply need to figure out what I'm going to preach on or what direction God, come to God and say, God, help me. Lord, please show me what you want me to do. And yes, have that on my prayer list and make sure that's a daily thing I pray, but really having time, okay, God, I'm taking this time. Maybe it's not my normal prayer time. Maybe it's before a service. Maybe it's just a random time. But God, you put it on my heart that I need, God, I'm going to come to you now and say, God, please help me with this because I need you. Man, pray right at that moment if you need. You won't turn there, but Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 5, when the king asks Nehemiah about why he's sad in his countenance, and he says, because my Jerusalem's fallen and things aren't going right. And the king says, what do you want me to do? And it, right there it says, and so I prayed to the Lord. And then it goes right on to continue the conversation. You can, like I said, for sake of time, look it up and read it yourself. And I don't know the whole context of everything and how that went, but it looks like, it's like, if I'm talking to Austin, the conversation's going on, and all of a sudden he's like, wow, the king's asking me what he wants me to do. I need wisdom from God, so it just says he prayed. And it probably wasn't like a, oh Lord, please, you know, bless the missionaries, and God bless the churches, and God bless so-and-so. He was probably like, Lord, help me, like, give me wisdom, right? That's probably what his prayer was in that frame of mind. I'm sure he didn't stand there for 5 minutes just staring blankly at the king when the king's like, what do you want? But he prayed for wisdom when he needed it. Sometimes that's all you can do is just a quick, God, give me wisdom in this situation. And you know what he can do? He can give you mercy and grace in your time of need. But do you take advantage of that? Do you come to God? Or is it, well, I got it figured out, or well, so-and-so told me I should do this, or I read this book about this, or I've experienced this thing in my past, and so I know what's going on, I know how to handle it. Come to God. Come to God for wisdom. Come to God for others. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 7 through 12, Paul talks about praying for that church at Colossae. You know, let's turn there just turn there real quick, just so you can see the verse, Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, and verse number 7. Colossians 1, verse number 7. Let's jump down to verse number 9. It says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding." He continues on then to verse number 12 about things he's praying for this church at. But you know what you see a lot of in Scripture in Paul's writings? Him praying for others and him asking, sometimes even not asking, but telling people to pray for himself. Because he knew the importance of prayer. He knew what it meant for people to pray for him and for him to pray for other people. Can I encourage you? Come to God for other people. And yes, that's one of the best good things about having a prayer list is and a prayer journal, because then you don't forget things. You don't, you know, have things go. But sometimes God may put it on your heart at a random time of the day to pray for somebody that needs prayer. Go to God then. Man, I heard a pastor say a while back that one of the things he tried to do, that if he's talking to somebody and they ask him to pray for something, you know what he does? Right there and they say, "Hey, let's pray for it." You know why? Because I might forget about it then. And they come to God right then. Well, that's weird. That's awkward. Maybe. But what do you care more about, being awkward or weird or actually getting a hold of God for what the issue and the problem is? Learn how to come to God. Hey, even pray for those, not just that you are your friends and those, the brothers and sisters in Christ that need prayer, but for those who hurt you. In Matthew chapter 5, 43 through 44, Jesus said about love your enemies and pray for those that despitefully use you. He said, pray for those that don't like you. How much do you pray for the ones that are mean to you, that have hurt you, that have betrayed you? That's not an easy thing to do. But they need prayer. That's what makes a difference. Can I say something that's really helped me, and I'm still growing in this and learning in this? But learn how to pray for people instead of being critical or bitter against them. You know, it's very easy for us to do, very easy for me to do, be critical or bitter against people. You know, you're in the ministry, you're just living life, and somebody hurts you, or, you know, one of the teenagers does something stupid, and I'm like, why? And I find myself just, well, why did I do this? And, you know, run through this conversation in my mind where I tell them off or tell. And you know what the Lord's convicted me about and tried to help me do better on? How about instead of running your mouth about them, why don't you pray for them instead? Why don't you take the time that you'd be in your shower going through an imaginary conversation of how you'd correct them and show them how dumb they are, and take that time to pray for them? Hey, instead of that person that really hurt you and that really tore your heart out or whatever, why don't you take the time to pray for them instead of telling everybody else about how horrible of a person they are? It makes a difference, folks. I've seen that do a whole lot more for people that I care for and I'm trying to help than me running my mouth about them or running them down or trying to fix them myself. How about we come to God for them? It makes a difference. Come to God for wisdom. Come to God for others. When you're hurt and overwhelmed, come to God. Go to Psalm 61. Psalm 61. Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61 and verse number 1, the Bible says, David speaking says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." You look in David's life, you see a lot of times where he was hurt and overwhelmed. And you know what he did? He came to God. And once again, it wasn't just, well, here's my daily time of prayer, so this is when I'm going to pray. No, I think it's, man, when I feel like my heart's being torn out of me, when I'm just going through my day, maybe I'm at work, or maybe I'm at the office, or maybe I'm sitting here in church on a Sunday night, and God, you know, come to God. Bring it to the Lord. Say, God, please help me. Man, I don't know how the world does it without the Lord. Because I can't tell you the times that I have been hurt, that I have been discouraged, that I've almost felt like giving up or whatever, because just things seem like too much. In all honesty, this evening, before I was about ready to come down and pray, there was something that just been on my mind and something I just felt like this, to be honest. And you know, I had to come to God and just say, God, I don't know about this, Lord. I don't see a way out. I don't see what you can do about it. I don't know how you can. And Lord, that scares me. And Lord, that hurts me. And Lord, that. But God, I'm bringing it to you. I'm coming to you about it. Yeah, I'm supposed to be praying for my message, and it's right before service, so there's... But God, this is on my heart now, so God, I'm coming to you for grace and help in my time of need. You know what? You can come to God. And I encourage you to do it. When you're hurt, overwhelmed, come to God. Come to God for his help and his power. We're not going to turn there, but 1 Kings chapter 18, the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. He goes, I think it's only like a 63-word prayer when we know the story, but to call down that fire from heaven. He needed God's power. He needed God to do something for his glory, to show the Israelites that the Lord... And you know, he's God, do something. God, show yourself. And God did it. And then he says, you know what? I prayed and it didn't rain. And guess what? Ahab, get up to the mountain because there's going to be some rain coming. You know what he does? He falls down to the ground and he prays. He comes to God saying, God, do something. And then over in James chapter 5 and verse number 16 through 18, it talks about that. About the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And it talks about Elijah. And how he prayed that the heavens would be shut up and God blessed that prayer. And then he prayed that there would be rain and there came a great rain. You know why? Because he came to God because he prayed. And once again, not just the ability. And I'm guilty of that sometimes. I try to be careful because when I get and pray before messages, it can just be so used to saying, you know, Lord, show your power. And we get in this rhythm of just, okay, we know we're supposed to pray for God's power. I'm preaching. I know I need God's power. I'm singing. God, I know I need your power. Passing out tracts. God, please bless it. But really saying, God, I need you. God, I want to see your power. God, I want to see you do something, meaning it, and actually coming to God about it. Come to God for wisdom. Come to God for others. Come to God when you're hurt and overwhelmed. Come to God for God's help and power. But then lastly tonight, can I say this? Come to God for submission to fulfill God's will. For submission to fulfill God's will. One last place we'll go to, Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. And this is Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane before he's getting ready to go to the cross. Matthew chapter 26 and verse number 36. The Lord brought this to mind with Easter Sunday coming up next Sunday. But verse number 36, the Bible says, Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Around 2,000 years ago, in about a week, Jesus Christ knew he was going to go to the cross and do one of the hardest thing that any person has ever done, face the cup of the wrath of God. It wasn't easy. You know what he did? He prayed about it. And you see in verse number 39, he prayed saying, Oh my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. Then we came to that moment where the Father had a will and Jesus had a will, but he said, God, this is my, but Lord, thy will be done. But can I say, have you noticed that Christ's prayer changed the more he prayed? Because once again, in verse 39, he says, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. I mean, his will was always to do the will of the Father. But then look at what he prays in verse number 42. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, Oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And then in verse number 44, it says he prayed the third time, saying the same words. His prayer went from, okay, God, this is my will, and Lord, if we can, let's do my will, but Father, your will be done. I'm submitting to you. To, okay, God, it seems like this is your will. So, Lord, your will be done. Help me to do the things that I know you want me to do. And I think because of prayer, because he came to God, he prayed to the Lord. When the hardest time in Christ's life, when he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, you know what he did? Our Lord and Savior, he prayed. You know what we need to do in our life when we face those times when maybe it's hard to submit to the will of God? We need to pray. And we need to come to God. Maybe that's a big life-changing thing. Maybe that's something that's going to affect our entire lives. And we know that God's saying, do this thing. And we're like, but God, I don't know if I want to do this thing. And Lord, this is hard. And Lord, what? No, you need to come to God and pray. And say, God, thy will be done. Yeah, Lord, maybe that. But Lord, I need your help to fulfill and submit to your will. Maybe it's just a day-to-day thing. Maybe it's tomorrow, like me, you have to get and be like, Lord, I don't always like talking to people, and I'm maybe going to go to Walmart, and there's going to be people there, and I'm going to want to just hide myself and not talk to any. But Lord, you know what I know your will is? For me to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what God, not my will, but thine be done. Because we need to submit to his will. God, I have to talk to so-and-so, and I really don't like so-and-so, but Lord, I need to love so-and-so, and whatever it is. Learn to come to God. Because you know what you'll find? That the more you pray about it, and the more you submit yourself to God and say, okay, God, you know I'm dumb. Lord, you know I have my own will. You'll find eventually you get to the point of, okay, yeah, God, you made this pretty clear that this is your will. So instead of, Lord, if it's your will, help me just to not see anybody at Walmart and not even like, I'm the only person at Walmart. If that could be your will, help me be the only person at Walmart so I don't. Maybe then it becomes, okay, Lord, I know it's your will for me to go to Walmart and tell someone about Jesus. So, Lord, thy will be done. Help me to do the things that I need to do. Whatever it is in our lives. Learn how to come to God, Christian. Because prayer makes a big difference. And prayer changes things. You know where you're going to find grace and help, grace and mercy in your time of need? The throne of God. And even though we don't deserve to be there, and our lives are open to him with whom we have to do, and he sees all our faults, we can come boldly, anytime, any place, in any way, in whatever situation. We talked about some stuff tonight, but you can come to God about it. And I encourage you to do it. Right? It doesn't help us to have that throne of grace freely offered us if we don't do anything about it. And as the piano player comes this evening, can I just encourage you, learn how to come to God and learn how to pray. Yes, have a prayer list, have a prayer journal, have a schedule of when you do it, have some time you set aside of God, I know my flesh, so Lord, I'm going to do it. But don't just let that be your prayer life. Don't do it like I said with our Bible reading many times. We just, okay, I did my Bible reading in the morning, and so now I can think about everything else except the Bible because I did it. Actually make it, God, when you lay something on my heart, I'm going to pray about it. When I need wisdom, when I need to pray for others, when I'm hurt and overwhelmed, when I need God's help and power, when I need to, God, I'm going to come before your throne for grace and help in time of need. Because you're not going to find it anywhere else. And no one can help you like the Lord does. And so I don't know what's going on in your life tonight. I don't know what you need to pray about. I don't know if God's spoken to you anyway. Maybe this is more just an intellectual thing of, okay, like, prayer's important, and I need to learn how to come to God. But maybe tonight you need to come to God. Maybe the Lord put something on your heart this evening. Well, I've been preaching that I know it's not our prayer time, right? I know this isn't our morning time of prayer. This isn't in our prayer. Maybe you just need to come to God and pray about it. Because maybe he's put it on your life and on your heart. But heads bowed and eyes closed as the piano plays this evening. You do business with the Lord as he sees fit. But please, 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 as I said, if I could just encourage you in anything, learn how to come to God. So the altar's open if you need to use it this evening.